News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. Feels like Tuesday, but it's actually Wednesday. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the show where we have longer conversations about things you've heard about in the news as of late on WSJM. If we've talked about it in our newscast, you'll hear about it in a more extended fashion here on Our Take. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. We have multiple guests coming up today. We have some weather warnings for you, first of all. But also today we'll talk with State Representative Dave Pagel about some legislation that recently was signed by the governor. This involves individuals who have felony convictions on their records. This bill allows them to work for the Michigan Department of Corrections, and there's some pretty solid reasoning behind it. We'll chat with Dave Pagel about that. On today's Our Take, we'll also talk with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about some opioid-related legislation recently approved by the governor. It's one of her accomplishments in the state legislature this past year. We'll talk with Michigan State Police about what you've got to do to keep yourself, you guessed it, safe when the weather is freezing like it is this week. It is cold. I like to go for a walk, a mile or two every day, and, well, it wasn't exactly pleasant last night. And we'll also talk with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman to find out exactly when this weather should warm up. When will it finally warm up? Well, it'll be a while. We'll find out about that from Mike Hoffman coming up on today's program. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss on Our Take, you know what to do. Just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with State Representative Dave Pagel. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be here. For this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with State Representative Dave Pagel. He is a representative from Berrien Springs, and recently the governor signed some legislation that he had proposed. It concerns individuals with felony convictions on their records. State Rep. Pagel says it doesn't make any sense that the Michigan Department of Corrections has a rule against employing such individuals. That sort of flies in the face of the message they're trying to send out all the time. So I chatted with State Representative Dave Pagel about this legislation. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Representative Pagel, now the governor has signed this legislation that you had backed. It concerns hiring practices at the Department of Corrections. Tell us a little more about this.
Yes, the Department of Corrections actually had a law that forbade them from hiring felons themselves, and yet they were going out in the community and talking to businesses and promoting the hiring of felons to businesses. The department provides, you know, educational training and some career tech training. We're even working to get some prisoners who are getting released, before they get released, we give them training to get certified, like as a welder or as a mason or a builder or different trades we're working on. But as we were in that process, we realized, boy, it's a little embarrassing that the department themselves cannot hire a felon. And they asked me to sponsor that legislation, so I did. I'm sure they'll use it with a lot of discretion, and, you know, there'll only be certain positions where it might be appropriate for a certain individual, but at least they'll be able to do that, and there'll be a few folks that get a job because of it.
Yeah, and I imagine, you know, when we talk corrections, a big problem that folks who have been caught up in the system, a big problem they probably have is finding work when they get out of prison.
It certainly is a big challenge, and without work, you know, things are just so much harder. And if you can help a released prisoner get a job, why, they they just have a so much greater chance of having success and staying out of trouble. So that's what that bill was about, and it's just been one issue on that front that we're working to work towards offender success to try to stop that revolving door of, you know, a lot of our prisoners or former prisoners who returned, and we're trying to stop that and help them be more likely to have success in society.
Mm. And did this plan get a lot of bipartisan support when it went through the legislature?
This was pretty strongly supported. Everyone obviously wanted to make sure that we're protecting public safety, that they wouldn't be coming like corrections officers and carrying a gun or something like that. And obviously there are certain safeguards we put in place, but once any issues like that were addressed, it did receive a real strong support.
And now the governor signed this plan just earlier this month, so it's law now.
Yes, it does. It always feels good. The process is such a long process, even on a rather simple bill like this, to get it through committee and then get it through the House and then go over to the Senate and get it through their committee and their vote and then get the governor to sign it. It takes quite a while to get an idea into actual law, so it really feels good once the process makes full circle.
We're talking with State Representative Dave Pagel about a new law that allows the Department of Corrections to hire felons. Anything else you'd like to add, Representative?
Oh, I would just say it's just a part of overall strategy we've been working on, just to try to figure out ways to promote offender success, whether it's addressing issues of drug and alcohol abuse or mental illness or preparing for jobs. And this was just one piece of the puzzle that we've done, and we're having some success. The numbers in our prison are actually down a bit, and that's nice to see.
All right. That was State Representative Dave Pagel of Berrien Springs talking with us about one of his legislative accomplishments this past year. Legislation allowing the Department of Corrections to finally hire felons, because the reasoning here is the Department of Corrections tries to convince employers to hire felons, businesses, and the department itself had a rule against doing so. So Pagel's legislation changed that. It was signed by the governor and becomes law. We'll have Representative Pagel back on Our Take next week. Actually, I chatted with him. I'm about to chat with him about his priorities for the next year and overall how he feels about 2017. So that's one of the things he accomplished, and we'll learn a little more about other things that he accomplished and what he's looking forward to in the next year at a future edition of Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. And speaking of the state legislature, specifically the state house, Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard, he has chatted with Michigan News Network about how he feels about 2017 and what he's expecting to be priorities coming up in 2018. State Representative Tom Leonard is a Lansing area Republican, serving as the Speaker of the House. Now, he told Michigan News Network, as 2017 here comes rolling to its inevitable conclusion, lawmakers in Lansing, they have many things planned out for next year. They want to have an emphasis next year on skilled trades and technical education. This is something we're going to be hearing about an awful lot in the next year from our state lawmakers. So here is Michigan House Speaker Tom Leonard.
When you look at where Michigan's unemployment rate is right now, we are essentially at full employment. The problem is right now is we don't have enough skilled individuals to take a lot of these skilled trade jobs. So this is certainly something that's near and dear to my heart and something we need to work on.
At State House Speaker Tom Leonard, career and technical education is what you're going to be hearing about from our state lawmakers a whole lot in the next year. I've noticed several of them saying that. I have a feeling they probably have all together decided that will be what they'll push for next year, which is a good thing. State House Speaker Tom Leonard, though, said, you know, there's a few other things they'd like to accomplish in 2018.
I want to see a resolution to this driver responsibility fee situation that we have right now. We've got over 300,000 of our citizens who are currently driving without a driver's license. It's time for us to get that matter resolved when we come back in January.
Okay, so it appears as though just about everyone wants to get rid of the driver responsibility fees. So I don't know why they haven't done it yet, but that's State House Speaker Tom Leonard saying they'll get back to work on that. I noticed he didn't mention auto insurance reform, because the State House failed to approve a plan to reform that system this past year. Now, I have talked with a couple of our lawmakers here in Southwest Michigan, including John Prose and Tanya Shoemaker. They both say that they're hoping something can happen with auto insurance reform in 2018. So all hope is not lost on that front. State House Speaker Tom Leonard also says mental health reform a priority for the coming year. Indeed, that's something some of our lawmakers have worked on as well. So plenty for our lawmakers to do when they get back to work after the new year, and I look forward to seeing what they come up with in 2018. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now it is time for a quick break. When we come back, we will chat with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman. I wanted to ask him a little bit about this frigid weather we've got going on outside and how much longer it's going to last. Spoilers. It's going to last for a little while here. We'll also talk with Michigan State Police about how you can stay safe when it's freezing outside. And we'll talk with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about some opioid legislation she recently got approved. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. We'll be right back.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9. WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for this here Wednesday edition of the show. Right now, for this segment of the show, I wanted to learn a little bit more about this this freezing weather we're dealing with this week. I caught up with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman to ask him what we can expect weather-wise in the next few days and when it's going to end. So let's hear what WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman had to say about that. All right, we're speaking to WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman. Mike, just how cold is it and how cold is it going to be in the next few days?
Well, we're going to see high temperatures some of the days only in the single digits. I think most days will reach into the teens, but when you factor in the wind chills, and especially when the winds are coming across Lake Michigan, they're a little stronger near the lake typically, and so wind chills are even lower there. But we're going to look at wind chills most of the time the next 2 days below zero like they have been today. So it's going to be kind of dangerous for people that have to be outdoors for long periods of time.
When does this cold snap end?
I don't see it ending until at least the 7th or 8th of January. And there will be some days that might get up close to 20 for the high, but it'll go right back down after that. So not for at least the first week of the new year do I see any type of relief from the cold. And even the warmth that's coming after the 7th or the 8th is probably just going to take us back up close to normal. These temperatures we're having now are much colder than we would typically see right now.
So this is a blast of Arctic air courtesy of Canada.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's Arctic air. It's something we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks as it's been gathering in Canada, and it does, you know, it's a situation where once it's there, when we have the winds bringing it southward, that's when it just floods the United States with very cold air. So we aren't the only ones. This is going to be very cold air. There's even a potential chance for a freeze into the orange groves of Florida by the early part of next year.
All right, so if there was something you had to say to people just so they can keep themselves safe, what would you say?
really stay indoors as much as you can, but, you know, cover everything up. It's the wind chill that really saps the heat out of your body, and so by covering up, you really help, and obviously bundling up as much as you can, wearing gloves and scarves. And, I would check on the elderly. If you know some older folks that are living at home, make sure their furnace is working, because that can be an issue as well. And take extra precautions with your pets. I think, we have to worry about them, especially the ones that stay outdoors all the time. You might bring them in for a few days here.
We're talking with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman. Anything else that we need to know about the next week, Mike?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, this isn't something that we never see. It's something that we do occasionally see. We didn't really last winter, but, most winters we go through a period like this. It's just we need to be smart about it, and when you're going on a trip in your car, make sure you have things in the car that if you do get in an accident or are stalled, then you're in the cold with no heat, and you need to have ways of staying warm in that situation as well.
All right, that was WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman there, reminding us we deal with this every year here in Michigan. That doesn't mean I like it, though. And freezing temperatures expected to last through about the 8th, he was predicting there. So bundle up, check on your loved ones. Don't leave the pets outside for too long when it is like this. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take. And as long as we're talking about the weather, Michigan State Police put out a little warning this week to everyone, a frigid extreme cold temperature warning. State Police Emergency Management Division wants to make sure everyone knows how to keep themselves prepared so you don't wind up in a dangerous situation because of this cold weather. So I chatted with the Emergency Preparedness Division's Dale George. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Dale, we've got extreme cold around Michigan right now. What is Michigan State Police trying to communicate to Michiganders?
Yeah, we have some bitter cold temperatures out there impacting much of the state until later this week. So we're encouraging Michigan residents and visitors in Michigan, especially during this holiday period, to be extra cautious when going out in the extreme cold.
So what are some of the biggest concerns for individuals going outside when it's this cold?
Well, we were dipping below zero at nighttime, and it's in single digits right now. So we just want people to be aware of the symptoms of cold weather injuries. So, to watch for signs of frostbite, which include loss of feeling or pale appearance in fingers, toes, or face. Also, keep an eye out for hypothermia, and those symptoms include uncontrollable shivering, memory loss, drowsiness, and exhaustion. Another thing we're asking is to minimize travel if at all possible. And if you do have to travel, keep a full tank of gas and an emergency preparedness kit in your vehicle, and to include in that some warm clothing, gloves, blankets, hats, in your kit in case you become stranded.
So, how quickly can someone get frostbitten in temperatures like what we're seeing right now?
Well, it's a little longer right now, but an interesting fact is that, wind chill of 20 below can cause frostbite in as little as 30 minutes. So and these temperatures are not quite there yet, but it's just best to keep an eye out. And you can tell if your fingers and toes are getting tingly. So just try to be aware of those symptoms and watch out for frostbite or hypothermia.
You mentioned to minimize travel. I mean, why would it being extra cold make you want to avoid the roads?
Well, sometimes it's hard to spot that black ice, and when we have these extreme cold temperatures, when we're dipping down to negative double digits, the salt isn't very effective. So those roads could be slick, and it increases the likelihood of maybe going off the road or becoming stranded. Also, some vehicles may have a little harder time being out in these cold temperatures. So if your vehicle stops working or you have some kind of issues, we don't want you stranded out there in these cold temperatures. But if that were to happen, it's best to stay with your vehicle until help can arrive rather than trying to go out and get help yourself.
All right. Something else to consider is your pets. What do Michigan State Police want to tell people about their pets this week?
Well, your pets can get a cold weather injury as well, just like you or me can. So they can suffer from hypothermia and frostbite. Keep them indoors if at all possible, and just keep an eye on them at this time so they don't get hypothermia or have some kind of injury.
We're talking with Dale George, Michigan State Police. Dale, anything else you want to tell people about this week's extreme cold?
Well, during the winter months, we also tend to see an increase in incidents of carbon monoxide poisoning. So, and that has to do with people using generators during this time of year, or some supplemental heating to help keep the house a little warmer. But, you know, it's important to follow all the safety measures and precautions that come with your supplemental heating devices, and to keep an eye out, you know, for carbon monoxide poisoning, especially if you have a generator. Make sure never use a generator indoors. Don't have it close to doors and windows, even when you have it outside your home. Have it further away from the home, if at all possible. And, you know, it's a silent killer. You can't smell or taste carbon monoxide. So if you are using a generator or you're using other heating supplements in your house, make sure you have a carbon monoxide detector in the home to keep everybody safe.
Good advice indeed. That was Dale George, spokesperson for the Michigan State Police, their Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Just some friendly reminders for everyone, with it being as cold as it is this week. And he's ended on a reminder there for anyone using a generator. Keep that generator far away from the house. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. One more thing to tell you about in this segment. Coming up in the next couple of months, the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan is going to be holding some financial planning events around the state of Michigan for people. As we head into a new year, as tax season approaches, they want to make sure the public is educated how to properly manage its finances. So the Economic Development Association of Michigan is going to hold some Show Me the Money Day events all over Michigan, 39 of them in the next couple of months. And I know several of them will be in Kalamazoo. Those are probably the closest to us that are planned. Experts coming to communities all across our fair state to connect people with the resources they need to be financially fit with these Show Me the Money Day events taking place. We'll offer free assistance on a variety of topics, all the way from applying for college financial aid to budgeting to buying a house. Allison Brooks with the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan tells us these sessions are a way to kick off tax season and promote opportunities to increase income and build assets for Michiganders.
Even getting free tax assistance can save a low to moderate income family thousands of dollars per year. And that's really what it's all about, is putting the money back in a Michigan family's wallet.
So that's the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan's Allison Brooks there telling us, you know, in a financial pinch, it's often too easy for people to make the wrong decisions, especially if you don't realize just how bad those decisions are.
Payday lending, using pawn shops as a resource. So one thing you want to do is make sure that everything is in one spot. The financial mainstream is accessible for everyone.
So there are many things they want to communicate to individuals with their 39 different Show Me the Money Day events slated to take place in Michigan throughout January and February. Last year, more than 3,000 Michiganders attended the Show Me the Money Day events. You can find information on where and when these events will be taking place at showmethemoneyday.org. It's not just showmethemoney.org, it's showmethemoneyday.org. Here in Southwest Michigan, they'll have 5 events taking place in Kalamazoo, so that's your best bet if you're interested in heading to one of those functions where they'll try to impart financial wisdom onto individuals. Even I know better than to use a payday lender, but they've got more advice than just that. So that's something that's coming up as the new year begins. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about the fight against opioids here in Michigan and some legislation that has now been approved thanks to her efforts. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. Are you getting back into the swing of things after the lengthy Christmas break there? A lot of us actually just took this whole week off. Not a bad move. I know that our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, has this whole week off. So on Friday, when I talk about what's coming out of the box office, he won't be here. I'll have to do it all by my lonesome. And this is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things that you've heard about on WSJM News as of late. We talk with the individuals who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. So far in today's program, we chatted with State Representative Dave Pagel about some legislation that allows the Department of Corrections here in Michigan to hire felons. State Rep. Pagel pushed that through, and it got bipartisan support. The governor has signed it. It makes sense. Our Michigan Department of Corrections is trying to convince businesses all the time to hire individuals with criminal records to give them a chance, so why wouldn't the Department of Corrections do so? We talked with State Representative Dave Pagel about that. Also on today's program, we talked about the weather. It's freezing outside. It's very cold, so we chatted with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman, who told us this frigid weather will probably continue through the 7th or 8th of January, so get used to it for the time being. We also chatted with Michigan State Police about things you need to do to be safe so that you don't get the frostbite or the hypothermia when the weather's like this. Now, right now for this segment, I thought we would talk with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. She is part of an effort designed to fight unemployment fraud here in Michigan. Now, this topic interests me because I recently got my identity stolen by someone trying to claim unemployment benefits. They were trying to claim unemployment benefits using my name and information. Now, I don't know where the payment would have gone if it had been approved by the company for some reason, but this affects me. I had to jump through a bunch of hoops. And so State Senator Tanya Shoemaker of Lawton is part of this effort to prevent these sorts of crimes. I wanted to talk with her about this, find out what her plan does. So let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Senator Shoemaker, so this legislation that you helped get passed would fight unemployment fraud. Tell us more about what it would do.
Well, this would make significant changes. One of the problems that I'm hearing more and more in terms of scams and frauds out there is people collecting unemployment in somebody else's name. Mm-hmm. And so, and the people don't realize it. So these bills were necessary. They went through a committee I sit on, the Oversight Committee, to really help thwart that fraud that's happening out there. In fact, I just had a friend over on the east side of the state that contacted me because somebody had filed up for unemployment, and so these bills will go a long ways to help reduce that fraud that's happening out there.
Okay, Tanya, this is really interesting to me because this happened to me.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Last week, or about 2 weeks ago, the HR person here at the radio station came to me and asked me why I had filed for unemployment, and I had no idea what she was talking about. My identity got stolen.
Yeah.
So this
is happening. Like, it's it's like the newest rampant fraud out there.
Yeah, I know. That's what I've been learning, and I've tried to contact the unemployment agency to, you know, talk to them about it, and they never call back. What does the legislation do to address the problem?
Well, the agency would be required to credit an employer's account for benefits paid to an imposter that were charged to the account. Mm-hmm. And will help kind of thwart the fraud of this. And maybe we need to go further and require that before you file for unemployment, you need your Social Security number. But something needs to be happening because I'm hearing more and more about this fraudulent claims that is going on.
Okay, so this is a growing problem that you've been contacted about, and this will at least help companies that end up losing money as a result?
That's correct.
So the bill has passed both the State House and Senate.
Yes, they're House bills 5165 to 5172. And so I just really wanted to, the reason, even though they're not my bills, I wanted to send this out that the legislature is taking this kind of fraud seriously. And we're realizing that consumers out there need to be protected from this. But I also really wanted to raise awareness because until it happens to you and somebody files for unemployment, there's really no way to, people need to be more aware of it, that it's happening.
All right, we're talking with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. She just told us a bit about this unemployment fraud legislation. But also, Senator Shoemaker, you wanted to talk about some legislation designed to fight the opioid epidemic. Tell us a bit about what this recently passed plan is.
Senate Bills 166 and 167 are also headed towards the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm.
And this really cuts down on doctor shopping and pill mills by requiring doctors to use an already existing system to check a patient's history. So, you know, if a patient has been to multiple doctors, the doctor can check this. And we updated the MAP system back in April. And so it's real-time data now, which was one of the complaints why doctors weren't using it before. And this will go a long ways to help curb the illegal opioid production that we have out there in our communities that are killing our children.
Right. And I know, you know, you've been all over the state and heard about people. This is opioid abuse is something people are concerned about statewide.
You know, it's amazing how this opioid crisis is touching every single family, does not distinguish amongst economic levels, race, religion. It's touching our communities all over this whole great state.
Okay, that was State Senator Tanya Shoemaker from Lawton talking with us about a couple of issues. First of all, secondly, we ended by talking about the opioid legislation. What this does is it requires doctors to check the statewide database of who has received opioid prescriptions before they prescribe an opioid to someone. This can crack down on doctor shopping, and also the idea of pill mills that's now passed, certain to become law. And also we talked about a plan to try to fight unemployment fraud. As I mentioned there, yeah, that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I got called into the HR office. They said, "Why did you file for unemployment?" I said, "I didn't." And then I was given a document that showed I did. So I told the company, "No, block this." And I did some digging around. Yeah, that's what this identity theft, that's what this unemployment fraud that you hear about all the time is. What happens is some crook gets a hold of someone's private information, personal information anyway, and uses it to file a bogus unemployment claim in their name, and presumably has the payments electronically deposited into some account they have somewhere. And the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Office has done a terrible job of fighting against this this particular rash of crimes that's been taking place across the state, to the point where the victims were actually being ordered to pay back the fraudulent unemployment money to the state. So in other words, if your identity was stolen and someone else collected unemployment in your name fraudulently, and then the Michigan Unemployment Office found out about it, they would order you to pay the money back even though you hadn't done anything. That's what this big problem was. In my case, luckily, no money was paid out to any thieves, as far as I know. And, so it's a rampant problem that Senator Shoemaker's been hearing about. So they're talking about increasing the requirements necessary to file for such benefits. And also, they've got this plan to help companies get ripped off when this happens. By the way, it's interesting. The document I saw that was filed by some crook in my name cited a temporary shutdown for the business as the reason for my supposed claim. Now, we don't have temporary shutdowns here, but my thinking is maybe saying temporary shutdown in the case of like large manufacturers might work sometimes, factories that close down on a regular basis, or maybe school districts, they have temporary closures. Maybe employees get unemployment when they're shut down. So that's sort of the blanket term I think these scammers use. The Michigan Unemployment Office is impossible. It's impossible to get a person on the phone to talk about this. I filed the police report, and I took all the steps you're supposed to take. Indeed, a very scary situation. I'm glad to hear state lawmakers trying to do something about it. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take, now that I've shared my victim story with you. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we have several guests. We'll talk with State Representative Kim Lasada about some legislation she's been working on. We'll talk with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about the flu vaccine. It's not too late to get your flu shot. They still want you to get one. We'll find out about that on tomorrow's Our Take. And we'll check in with Michigan State Police tomorrow to learn about why you should think emergency preparedness this time of year. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed here on Our Take, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back tomorrow, same time, same station. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.
Oh yay, oh yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.